This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Asa, A-S-A, was the third king of Judah. Kingdoms divided. Solomon's son took the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin. And another guy took the northern kingdom, 10 tribes. And that became known as Israel. Israel is to the north, Judah to the south. And the kingdom was divided at that point. And Asa is the great-grandson of Solomon, would be the great-great-grandson of David. And he's in the house of David, the lineage of David. And he is now the king of Judah, which, of course, is where Jerusalem is located. And Mousy. Huh? I know. What do I look like? All right. So we have Jeroboam to the north, Rehoboam to the south. I don't know why their names sound the same, but one's got a J, one's got an R. Actually, the J's in Hebrew are actually I. But Asa was a reformer. And he was ridding Judah of idols. It's amazing how so much God did for these people, and yet still idolatry crept in time and time again. Which is why eventually he allowed them to be spread over the face of the earth, and they lost their country. Because of idolatry. Idolatry was the worst thing. And over time, idolatry crept into the people of Judah, and it infected them. And Asa the Reformer was dealing with these idols, clearing them out, getting them out of the temple first, and getting them out of people's lives as much as he possibly could. Idolatry creeps into people's lives, and it's not a good thing. Today's idols are in our country, for example, are sex, pleasure, drugs, alcohol, acceptance by others, fame, popularity, money. All of these things can become idols in people's lives. People's jobs can become their idol because they derive their self-image from it, and it becomes the most important thing. When something becomes more important than God, and when something is addictive, even if it's just a simple behavior, if it's addictive, sports could become an idol in a person's life. Anything can become an idol if you're addicted to it and it takes you away from God. And that's the point. And we know in 1 Corinthians 10 that idols are connected to demons. Paul connected the two. And so there's a lot of demon connection when a person is addicted to something and it takes them away from God. Then there is demons involved, always, especially because it's God's people. That we are the targets for fallen angels. We are the targets. So Galatians 6:14, in the Apostle Paul's life, he said, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom," and this is important, "by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." In other words, Paul said, "I don't have any problem with idols, because whatever the world has to offer me, I've been crucified to it. It doesn't affect me anymore. I'm not tempted by it. Nothing the world has, makes me want to try it or go get involved in it or do anything with it. There is nothing. Zero. I've been crucified to it, and the world is crucified to me, and I am that much separate from that which the world has. I live in the world, but what the world has to offer in terms of its addictions, I don't have any need. I have the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with my church life. I'm satisfied with fellowshipping with you guys in the body and having a church family. I'm satisfied with my Bible. I can watch television, but I'm not addicted to it. I can do various things. I can go to a sports event, but I'm not addicted to it. It's not something I have to have. And so it's a beautiful thing when the work done on the cross, and because of the work done on the cross, this is part of the finished work of Christ, the work done on the cross allows me to be rid of all my idols and addictions. I can be freed. The cross crucified me. I was co-crucified with Christ. I am dead. I was buried with him. I rose with him. I seated together with him in heavenly places. That is finished for me. I don't have to live in it. And as I grow as a Christian, I'll experience my freedom. As I grow as a Christian, that's important. It doesn't happen overnight for you. But as you grow, you're going to experience the freedom that was obtained for you at the cross. The cross set us free, and then as we grow as believers, we're going to experience, step little by little, that freedom that was given to us. And then when you grow up and become a mature Christian, then none of these things, you'll be like Paul. You'll be like, the world's got nothing for me. I find no pleasures in the world. I don't have any addictions in the world. I don't have anything I have to have. The world offers me nothing. You know, money's a useful tool, but I don't have to have it. I don't crave it. I don't live for that. I don't live for anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the cross will do in your life. That's what it'll do. It's already done it. And then you're just going to grow and experience what it's already done. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, I'll quit now and go home. And I mean, it's already done it. It's not going to do it. It's not Jesus, do it for me. It's already been done. That's the finished work. And it's been done. I'm going to grow now and experience it. So he's a reformer. Let's get back to Asa. Asa's a reformer. He is a man of faith. And that's a beautiful thing. We know that because when he was confronted by overwhelming odds, he had an Ethiopian army that was coming against him that was huge and that was well armed. And they were coming against him, and he had a small army and unable to protect his country. And so what did he do? In chapter 14, verse 11, he prayed. He turned it over to God. He put it in God's hands. He said, we are weak, we are small, but you are powerful, and you can do this for us, God. He turned it over to God. And in the 12th verse, 2 Chronicles 14, 12, the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled back to northern Africa where they came from. So he was a man, he was a great man of faith. Now, God sent encouragement to him. He sent a prophet to encourage him after this event to continue to believe, continue to be strong in your faith, continue to look to me for everything. Don't take it upon yourself. Whenever you come into a crisis or a problem or a situation, don't take it upon yourself. Look to me. Look to me. 2 Chronicles 15, 1. Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of, what's this guy's name? Oded. But this is Azariah, and he is a prophet, and he's going to be sent to talk to Asa and encourage him. So he went out to meet Asa in verse 2 and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you." And this is important. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Very simple principle. Asa, you were in trouble. You called upon me. I came to your aid. That's how we work. That's how this thing works. That's how this is set up. You ignore me. You don't call upon me. You don't pray. You think you're going to fix your problem in some other way. You're going to call Auntie so-and-so and get the money from her to solve your problems. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to try to weasel your way out of this on your own, that I'm not with you. I'm only with you if you don't forsake me, if you seek me, if you call upon me, then I'll be with you. That's my relationship that I have with you. I'll forsake you if you don't. Now, forsake you doesn't mean eternal abandonment. Asa sought the Lord's help, and God gave Judah the victory, a great victory over Ethiopia. But he said he would be with them if they would look to him, but if not, then he wouldn't be with them. What does that mean? As we said, it doesn't mean eternal abandonment. How do I know that? But it simply means that he's not going to be with them in terms of the blessing and the victory that they're looking for. How do I know he won't abandon them completely? Because what did we say about Asa? He is the great-great-grandson of David. 2 Samuel 7:14, God made a covenant with David, an agreement with him, which God doesn't break agreements. He doesn't break his covenants. He said, I will be his father, in the 14th verse, 2 Samuel 7:14, I'll be his father. He shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, then I'll have to correct him. I'll do that with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men, which means he won't have victory in certain areas of his life. People will have victory over him if he commits iniquity. But my mercy shall not depart from him. Yeah, I'll correct him because he's my son. Of course. But my mercy will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be established. How long? Forever. David, your kingdom, your house, which includes Asa, will be established forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Why is that? Because there's a covenant between David and God. Asa is the recipient of that covenant. No matter what Asa does, he's not going to be abandoned by God, because God has a covenant. Jeremiah 31, God has another covenant called the New Covenant. You and I are partakers of that covenant. In that covenant, he'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never abandon us. He'll never give up on us. He'll never let us go once we belong to him. He will establish with us a covenant that will last forever and ever and ever.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
A1 Auto Care of Hope Sound is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Dave and Esther Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986.